Mike, the Supreme Court of the United States has a number of very important cases pending. They, of course, began their current session back in October, but now we're into the meat of the order here in terms of arguments and where things are going. Perhaps the case that has the highest profile involves TikTok. Can you bring us up to date on where that case stands?
So first, this case is incredibly important, TikTok versus Garland. Essentially what this is, last year, Congress passed a law forcing the divestiture of TikTok as a controlled entity by China. So they said, look, if TikTok's going to continue to operate in the United States, it can no longer be controlled and operated by a Chinese entity. And why did the U.S. Congress do this? U.S. Congress did this because they recognized that TikTok posed a national security threat. The operation of TikTok by the Chinese government, the control exercise of dominion and control over TikTok by the Chinese government posed a national security threat to the United States. Well, TikTok, of course, argued that, hey, TikTok has 170 million users in the United States. This infringes upon their free speech rights. And to ban TikTok, to essentially prohibit the operation of TikTok in the United States, violates the free speech rights of not only TikTok, but the 170 million American users who utilize it and monetize it every day. So essentially, the case in front of the Supreme Court is this, is whether this law prohibiting the operation of TikTok in the United States as it is currently configured under the direction and control of the Chinese government constitutes a violation of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, essentially the free speech clause of the First Amendment.
So that is a case where oral arguments have just been heard. Mike, about how long does it usually take the Supreme Court to come up with a ruling here? Because President Trump is now asking to have his say on the issue. How does that impact the process?
The law is set to take effect on January 19th. President Trump actually weighed in on this with a brief in on the docket and a brief in this case. And his position is that they hold the law in abeyance so he retains the ability to negotiate with the Chinese government. He wants to have this card in his hand. In other words, if he's going to be striking deals as he takes office, he's going to be striking deals and trying to negotiate deals with the Chinese government. He wants to be able to have this leverage of saying, look, TikTok operates in the United States. I have the control about whether we're going to prohibit it. The Congress has already passed a law banning it. We've managed to hold this in abeyance. China, you need to use this. He's going to use this in a negotiating posture. So normally decisions from the United States Supreme Court come down in big cases, come down in late May, June, early July sometimes. You can expect a decision in this case fairly quickly, though, because the court is aware of the urgency of the situation. Keep in mind this. If you look at it, the Supreme Court took this case on an expedited basis and is hearing this on an expedited basis. So we all know past has shown that the court can act quickly when necessary. And I think you can expect a decision fairly quickly, weeks, certainly not months in this case.
There's another free speech case before the court, Free Speech Coalition versus Paxton.
Right.
Tell us a bit about that case.
Now, this is a case where Texas and 18 other states have passed laws requiring age verification of browsers to access internet pornography. So if you're going to want to access pornography on the internet in these states, you have to verify your age. Now, the question here, again, we're coming back to a free speech case. The question here is whether this law in Texas and by extension these other laws violate the free speech rights of these pornography companies. Free Speech Coalition is, again, a coalition of pornography companies that have come together to challenge these laws. Incidentally, there's laws in other states. For example, I think on January 7th, a district court in Tennessee actually stayed a Tennessee law that would require these age verifications. Again, coming back here to this, is whether these laws violate the First Amendment rights of these pornography companies. And the question here is what level of scrutiny the Supreme Court is going to apply here, whether there is a less restrictive means of accomplishing this goal. Ostensibly, the goal in these cases, of course, is to protect children from access to pornography. The question here is whether there's a less restrictive means of protecting the children, instituting parental controls, for example. So we're really going to see how the court grapples with these First Amendment cases. Interestingly enough, oral arguments on that are scheduled for January 15th. So by the midpoint of January, you're actually going to have two cases that have had oral arguments regarding the First Amendment expression, really on internet cases. So the court is really grappling with how applications, how online pornography, how TikTok social media really interacts with the First Amendment, the free speech clause of the First Amendment.
It seems like we never have a session of the U.S. Supreme Court, Mike, where somehow abortion comes into play. We do have another case before the Supreme Court involving Planned Parenthood. Tell us a bit about that, please.
Right. This case is entitled Kerr versus Planned Parenthood of South Atlanta. This is a case in South Carolina. You're seeing these laws passed by state legislatures, probably red state legislatures, and they're being challenged by coalitions and groups. Look, the legislature in South Carolina said No, Planned Parenthood is not going to have any access to Medicaid funds. These are state funds, you know, through the Medicaid program. We're going to cut off Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood because Planned Parenthood conducts abortions, right? And so now we're going to see, which if you remember a few years ago, there was that decision about Dobbs saying essentially the constitutional interpretation is this. States can regulate abortions how they want. States have the authority to regulate abortions. If they want to prohibit abortions, then they have that right to do that. In other words, there's no constitutional right to an abortion. Now you're going to see how this plays out regarding Medicaid funding. Can states cut off essentially state funding to a Planned Parenthood organization under the rationale that that organization provides abortion? And so you're going to see, again, the extent to which states really can regulate money, state resources that flow into organizations that provide abortion. So you're going to see really how far that state authority regarding regulation of abortion and state money really goes. And that's going to be Kerr versus Planned Parenthood versus South Atlanta.
And we have a case involving Second Amendment rights, ghost guns. Tell us a bit about that case.
Yeah, this is a case that, you know, this is called Garland versus Vanderstock. This was going to be one of the bigger cases of the term coming into this term. These other cases we talked about before really hadn't been on the docket yet. But this case, oral arguments occurred already, I think, in December. So they've already happened. And what happened here is really the extent to which the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms can issue regulations that might be beyond its statutory purview. In this case, ATF issued a regulation that would prohibit ghost guns. Now, those are those firearm kits. You buy the kit and you put the gun together yourself. It's not necessarily you go to a gun store and you buy a gun. And the extent to which really the authority of the ATF is to regulate these ghost guns. The statutes were pretty quiet regarding this, so there was really a significant questions about whether ATF had the legal authority under the statute, under the law, to regulate these. And so, again, this is part of kind of the unending continuation of how far can the administrative state infringe upon the rights of individuals. Of course, when you're talking about guns, you're talking about the Second Amendment, the United States Constitution, our right to keep and bear arms. So whether ATF can issue these regulations that blanket prohibit these sorts of firearms. Now, oral arguments had already occurred. I think it's going to be interesting to see where this comes down. The court has already erred on the side of more gun rights rather than fewer, and has also erred on the side of fewer administrative authority. In other words, these agencies like the EPA, the ATF, DHS don't necessarily have as much regulatory authority as they might have had a few years ago. So we're going to see where that one comes down. And that, again, is Garland versus Vanderstock.
We have again been talking with Mike O'Neill, who is Vice President of Legal Affairs at the Landmark Legal Foundation. Mike, tell us a bit about Landmark Legal Foundation. Also, where can we find you on the web?
Sure. You can find us at landmarklegal.org, landmarklegal.org. You can see all the great things we're doing. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan, tax-exempt charity organization. We don't accept any money from the federal government. We don't accept any money from the states. We're wholly dependent on contributions from private individuals and private foundations. And in essence, we fight for liberty. We fight against tyranny. We want to reduce the size and scope of the administrative state. We want to preserve the separations of powers, and we want to preserve liberty for the American people.
Mike O'Neill of the Landmark Legal Foundation. Mike, thank you for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you. You have a great day.